Hallelujah. Nothing but the blood. You can be seated if you're standing. Praise the Lord. Well, this is a new year, and everybody is, you know, first Sunday of the year, and people are asking, a lot of people wondering, what is God saying about the new year? But God's already said something. See, I'm from Texas. I said something. You know, for you other people, it's something. All the Oklahoma people understand that something, too, because they, how many of y'all understand something? Yeah, everybody else says something, but we say something. Okay. And actually, he said it in Jeremiah 29:11. He said, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, the thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope." You know, the real question is really, what are you saying about the new year? What are you saying? You know, this is how that you activate your faith to receive from God, is by what you say, what you say out of your mouth. You know, you take hold of the things of God by your faith confession. You know, you think about that word "take" for a minute. You know, take means that you're going to have to, you reach out and you get something, you grab a hold to something. You know, like if I go out here, and now Glenn, I'm not going to give this to you, but if I said, okay, and I hold this iPad out to Glenn, and this, he got, and he said, "Boy, I really wish I had an iPad." And yet there's one. Now, he's got it right there. What does he have to do to get it? He's got to reach up and take it. You know, I didn't count them. I wasn't about to. Somebody got more time than I do. You know, they've said that there are about 32,000 promises in the Word of God. Well, if you're going to get what God promised you, you're going to have to take it. Hello? You know, how many of you, business people, anything you do, sports, whatever, it just, you know, well, I know business principles. I know all about business. I took a business course. And so you sit in your office and prop your feet up on the desk. How many of you are going to be successful? No. You have to go out and take advantage of business opportunities to be successful. Is that not correct? Then nobody ever won a football game sitting in the locker room talking about how good they are and how fast they can run and I know all the rules. I know all the plays. Doesn't make any difference. You know all the plays. You got to go out and execute them if you're going to be successful. You see, 2 Peter 1:3 says, "As his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue." Now, I want you to notice that word "has." How many of you took English in school? Out of this whole crowd, there wasn't but about 15 people that raised their hand. Now, let me ask you again. How many of you took English in school? Oh, yeah, now we got everybody. What did you learn about that word "has"? What about it? It's what? Past tense. Come on. Remember the tenses? Huh? How many of you remember that? Now, I've been out of school longer than most of you, and I remember it, so come on now. It is past tense. Then if someone has done something for you, that means it's there for the taking. They've already done it. Like I said a while ago, somebody said there was 32,000 promises here. Now, let me ask you a question. Okay, what if I am, say, in, oh, let's say Los Angeles, California, and I'm in the airport, and you come up, one of you comes up to me and says, "Hey, man, the richest man in the world just put $1 million in your bank account in Tulsa." And so you come back the next day, and I'm still sitting in the Los Angeles airport saying, "I really would like to go back to Tulsa. I really would like to go home. I mean, you know, it really would be nice to go home, but I don't have no ticket." You'd think that's crazy, because I've got the money. All I've got to do is go up to the counter and buy a ticket. You have had deposited in your account all you need for life and godliness. Now, that's a little G there, if you notice. That means the God kind of life. You've already got everything he has already given to you. It's there for your taking that pertains to your all of your life. You know, it is so funny that people, you know, they respond in so many different ways. You know, God has poured out his blessing on us already, but too many people are sitting around singing about, "Well, you know, one of these days, in the sweet by and by," you know. They talk about how great it is when they're going to get to heaven. Well, it is. It's going to be great. I can tell you that. It's going to be fantastic. But I'm not in heaven right now, and I need something right now. I don't know about you. I need something right now. You see, he has given it to us, but we're going to have to take it. It's not, as my dad used to say, some of you heard him preach, "It won't fall on you like ripe cherries off of a tree." Now, I don't know where he ever got that statement, but I've heard him say it for many. Any of you have heard him say that statement that's heard him preach? So I see several hands up. I heard him say it. I don't know how many. I started to say 100 times, but that wouldn't be enough, I can tell you that right now. But, you know, the things of God are there for us, but situations and circumstances, we get our eyes off of the promises and on to all of the situations and all the circumstances. How many of you know the story of Peter stepping out of the boat and, you know, walking on the water with Jesus? Yeah. But I want you to notice that something happened to him when he got his eyes off of Jesus. First of all, it said he felt the wind. Secondly, he saw the waves. And you see, what happens to us, the enemy comes in with all of these circumstances. Oh, we know we're believing God. We know the scripture. We know what the Bible says. But then these things start coming in, and we get our eyes off of this onto the problem rather than keeping our eyes on the scripture, the word of God, which is the problem solver. You see, as long as he was looking at Jesus, everything's all right. But when he began to see, felt the wind, saw the waves, he began to sink. Isn't that what the Bible says? You see, but remember, Jesus reached out, grabbed a hold of him, and they walked back to the boat together and got back in the boat. You see, you're going to have to grab a hold of the promises of God and begin to claim them. You're going to have to reach out with the hand of faith and grab a hold of them. You're gone home already. You see, somebody said, "Well, I don't know how God's going to do it. I don't know how God's going to fix this problem." I don't either, but that's not your worry. Actually, a better word I could say, that's not your concern. That's God's. Your concern is to stay hooked up and hanging on to what the promises say. You know, people quote all the time, Philippians 4:19. "My God will supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory." Quote the scripture, but Something comes along, knocks their feet out from under them. And they went, oh, what am I going to do? Oh, what am I going to do? Well, see, they got their eyes onto the problem and off of the promise. You got to hang on to it. I mean, you got to hang on to it with all the tenacity that you have. You know, I don't know what year it was, but there was one of the years that we were loading up back whenever Dad was going full blast out on the road, and we had a semi-trailer out on the road with all the equipment in it, and actually they would put his car in the back of that semi, so when they got to wherever they was going, he had to get around, and we had the singers and band on out on the road in the bus, and we're all going, and in fact, Lynette and I and Craig and Denise were small at that time, and we had meetings scheduled all over out west, out in California and so forth. And so, I mean, it come, you know, school's getting out, the Raymond Bible School's getting out, and we getting everything ready to go. And there was a gas crisis and a fuel crisis, I should say, because those things burn diesel. My car burned gasoline. But and they said, man, you're not going to go out on the road, are you? You're not going to, man, what do you get out there in the middle of the desert? Can't even get no gas, no diesel fuel, no fuel. And what are you going to do? I said, I'm not going to cancel anything. God is still El Shaddai. Amen. The word of God is still true. I said, if he took care of the children of Israel and he gave them food when they didn't have any, and he gave them water when they didn't have any water, out of rocks and everything else, I said, he can sure take care of us when we're going out there to preach the gospel. You know, other people, and some people, oh, no, if I was you, I wouldn't do that. They started going on. I said, hey, wait a minute. The word of God is just as real in the bad time as it is in the good time. Have you ever noticed that there are a lot of people, they, as long as everything's going good, oh, man, they hanging on the word, they quoting the word, they're shouting and so forth, but you let a little adversity come in, and they go the other direction in a hurry. You know, you find out what you're made of when the going gets rough. Now, they used to tell us in the locker room in the football, they'd say, hey, when the going gets rough is when the tough get going. You know, you find out how tough you are. You find out how much you believe the word of God. You find out, you know, you've got to want it. You've got to want it. And you're not going to let anything, anybody or anything take it away from you. Hello. What is mine is mine. How many of you remember when you're a little kid, and somebody come over and take one of your toys away, and you grab it back, and that's mine, mine. Anybody remember that besides me? I got a few people that remember that. I guarantee you all of you did it, because I never seen a kid yet that didn't, somebody grab his toy, he didn't grab mine. You probably got some of the siblings would do that, you know. I got those five grandsons, those three boys, and on one side, Craig's got three boys, Denise got two. But, I mean, I remember those three boys, or even the cousins get together and somebody grabs something. Oh, mine! You know, that's my, hey, that's what you got to do. When the devil comes in and wants to take it away from you, you got to grab it and say, mine! You can't have it. Amen. See, you have got to take charge, or the devil will run over you. You know, some of you, you know, if you drove up to your house and there was a moving van there loading up all of your stuff, and you went up there and said, hey, what in the world is going on? And the guy said, I bought this in my house. I've sold all your junk. And I'm going to take it down there and move in this moving van. I'm going to give it to the people I sold it to. I'm going to move all my stuff in. Here's a paper that says this, that I got the deed to this house. Now, you walk back out of the car and say, well, wife, kids, I thought we paid this house off last year, and I thought it was ours, but that man's got a paper that says it's his, everything's his. So let's go down here to Aunt Mary's and see if we can stay down there till we can figure out what to do. Not a one of you would do that. No. You'd say, wait a minute. But you know what? The enemy comes in, and he begins to tell you, well, now, now God met your need last time, but this time it's different, and it's not going to happen this time. Oh, you got healed last time, but this time, remember, healing is not, it's not for everybody all the time. He'll come in with all kinds of stuff. That would be like you walking away from your house. You got to tell him what to do. You say, wait a minute, Mr. Devil. It's written. It is written. This is mine. You can't come in here with that junk. Get your moving van and get out of here. Hello. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We need to realize that we have to want it, and we have to take it. Hello. You know, in 1957, May 18, 1957, I was a junior in high school, running track for Canyonville Bible Academy up in Canyonville, Oregon. And we just a little old bitty school. We didn't even have a track team, but a bunch of us boys got together and decided we wanted to have a track team. We did have a basketball team. And we want to have a track team. And so we all went out and we went and we all bought some running shorts that were, you know, our colors was blue and white. And so we got some of that. And we got the coach, we got some blue running shorts. And we got the basketball coach to let us have the white singlets. Back then they had the singlets that you wore, you know, just sort of like we used to call them undershirts. They just have a strap up here. And how many remember they used to wear that for basketball? Well, we got him because we had the blue shorts and we had the white tops. And he let us have those. And I took, for our relay team, we didn't have no, we had to go buy our own, we went out and bought our own track shoes. And I cut the end of my broom off in my dorm room for our baton that we passed, you know, he handed out. And six of us made the state meet, the four of us on the 880 relay team, and then one of the guys on our relay team, he also ran the high and low hurdles, and then old Chuck, he threw the shot put in the discus. And there we were, you know. And we had talked to history teacher because he knew a little bit about running, and he really wasn't a coach, but we had to have a coach in order to have a team, you know, and it had to be one of the teachers, you know. So we got his name was Paul Mam. We got him. He said, okay, I'll coach you. I know a little bit about running. I run myself, and I know a little bit. So I'll be the coach. And so there we were. So we were out on the infield, and he told us, he said, whatever you win today will be if you go out and take it. You've got to take it. You've got to want it. And you got to go grab a hold of it. I remember first guy, he lines up over here. I walk across over to my spot where it was second time runner. And the second and fourth runners were on this side, the first and third on that side. I'm standing there. I'm waiting for Dick to hand the baton. Usually I'm just waiting on him. I'm watching him as he comes around the corner, you know. And then I turn and I get ready. I'm waiting and waiting, and usually he hollered go, and he didn't say, I didn't hear anything, so I spun around and I could see him charging, coming at me just hard as he could come, and he had his teeth clenched and his lips was buried back over his teeth, and you could see, and he was sucking air for everything he could get, and finally he shook his head at me and I took off, and then I had to slow down so I wouldn't get out of the exchange lanes. I grabbed that baton and I took off. I come around that curve and that last 20 yards, and there was old Lanky down there waiting on me with the baton. He had his hand stuck back, And man, my legs were felt like rubber. I couldn't suck any more air, so I just clenched my teeth. I knew what Dick happened to Dick then. And I just kept running. I said, I want this bad. And I just kept chugging and kept going. And I put the baton into his hand and fell over on the infield. seeing white spots in front of my eyes. But Dick ran his heart out. We were in about fourth place when I got it. I put us into first place. But both of us, we grabbed a hold of it. We want this. Third runner. I put him in first place. I'm standing on that grass watching him, and he's come off of that curve, headed down that last 20 yards toward Ben, and I saw one runner go by him, two runners go by him, and finally, seven runners go by him, and now he's in last place. He handed the baton off to Ben, that blue-eyed, blonde-headed Swede. He took off with everything within him. And he got us back to seventh place. And you could throw a double bed blanket over all seven of us. We missed sixth place by 1/100th of a second. The first three guys got medals around their neck. The next two, fourth and fifth, they got pin on ribbons. And the sixth place got a huge, big old rosette about that big around and had those cross streamers coming down and said state meet on it and all that. Seventh, eighth, we didn't get nothing. And it's all because one guy, when the going got rough and when things was tough, he'd already meddled in the hurdles. So when the going got tough, he didn't grit his teeth. He didn't grab a hold of it and say, "I want this," like the rest of us. See, that's what the devil, he'll come up to you. You may have won a couple of victories, but then he'll come tell you, "Oh, okay, now, hey, you got it. You might just let this one alone." No, you got to say, "No way." You got to have tenacity. Grab a hold of the promises of God. Like a dog does a bone. I mean, I've had some of my dogs. I love dogs. I've had dogs all my life. And, you know, I could give one my old collie dog, old Mike, when I was 9, 10 years old. His name was Mike. He was one of them black and white border collies. I could give him a bone. He'd grab a hold of that thing. I'd grab that bone on both sides and pick it up and lift him plumb off the ground, but he wouldn't turn loose that bone. Anybody ever done that with a dog before? I mean, he wouldn't turn. Hey, that's what we have to do. We had to grab a hold to the promises of God and don't turn loose. No matter what the devil says or does, we keep telling him it is written. The word says it. Smith Wigglesworth tells a story in his book about a lady. She come out of the house and she's going down to the bus stop. And she is walking down, you know, and a little old dog come off the porch following her. And she turns and says, "Now, honey, you're going to have to go back. You can't go. You're going to have to go back." Dog paid no attention to her. And she went on down, walked on down. Finally, she got down to the bus stop, and she is sitting there, standing there. And that little old dog, she said, "You can't. You're going to have to go back to the house." That old dog just walking around, wagging his tail, walking around her legs, you know. But here come the bus, and she stomped her foot and said, "I said, get back to the house." That dog tucked his tail and run and got back on that porch. See, that's what you have to do with the devil. You have to stomp your foot and say, "Hey, it is written, I'm healed. It is written, my needs are met." Stomp your foot and say, "It is written, I'm protected by the blood of Jesus." I don't know how many of you ever heard this statement, but I grew up Pentecostal. The old Pentecostals used to say, "I plead the blood. I plead." Anybody ever heard that? "I plead the blood." Hey, that means that's where the power is. Remember the song? There's power, power, wonder working power in the blood. Remember that? How many of you remember that? See, and that's what they're doing. Hey, I want to tell you what, you got to handle all the contradictory, anything that's contradictory to what the Word of God says. You got to refuse to even think on it. Refuse to cast it out. The devil may can bring it to your mind, but you don't have to think on it. I mean, you can't keep birds from flying over your head, but you sure can keep them from building a nest in your hair. If you got any, I don't have much. Now, they could build a nest in my wife's hair. Right? My dad used to say that. All that was one of his favorite sayings. But, hey, you can't keep the devil from bringing thoughts because he's the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says so. But you don't have to accept them. You don't have to think about them. You can refute them by quoting the Word of God to him and tell him, hey, listen. I don't care what you got to say. You're a liar anyway. Why do I want to listen? You know, people always say, well, the devil's been bothering me. What in the world? You won't let him bother? He's a liar anyway. Don't even listen to him. Go to the Word. Come on. You know, the Word of God says, Mr. Devil, I want you to know what the Bible said. The Bible said no weapon formed against me will prosper. It doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what you do. I always win. Paul said that we Christians, we that are blood bought, blood washed, it says we always triumph in Christ Jesus. Not sometimes, not hope we will, not want to. It says we always triumph in Christ Jesus. Oh, I'm getting a little preach on tonight. Getting a little preach on tonight, getting a little bit of that evangelistic anointing coming on. You know, but we've got to realize that symptoms may come. Situations may come. Circumstances may come. But we don't pay any attention to them. We pay attention to what God has said in his word. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Hallelujah. Glory. I'm getting excited. See, the minute you first reach out and take a hold of the promises of God by faith, they have come into existence in your life. You need to shout about it. You know, there was a guy one time, you know, he came down and he was praying for his wife and the church. They've been praying for this lady to be saved for a long time. He came down on that one Sunday night. He was praying for her to get saved. My dad tells this story. And I don't know whether it happened in his meeting or not. It may have probably did, because most of the stories, all the stories he told happened in his meetings. But I wasn't there when that was that about, but I know the story. And this guy prayed. He said, I thank you, Lord, my wife is saved. And he got up and he shouted all over the church, just praising God, because he took hold of it by faith. Now, the rest of the church sat there with their arms folded looking at him. Man, look. He's having a good time, I guess. Now, the next Sunday night, she came to church. And she got saved. Now, the story goes that she wasn't a very nice lady to start with. She was cranky and mean and so forth. And I didn't mean she was immoral or anything. She was just mean and cranky and, you know, wouldn't give you the time of day. Wouldn't let you in out of the rain. If it was raining and you were by her door, she wouldn't even let you in the house. That's the kind of lady she was. She came and she got saved. She's down there praying, got getting saved. And the church went wild. They've been praying for her for several months. They're dancing and shouting, woo, praise God, hallelujah. And he's sitting back there. And they come up to him and they say, what in the world's the matter with you? Your wife's down there. We've been praying for this and she's getting saved. He said, what I want to dance about old hat stuff for. That's history. He said, remember the other Sunday night when I danced? He said, that's when I got it back then. I don't have to see it to get it. I took it by faith. Amen. See, as you begin to grab a hold of the promises of God, you shout about it then. Not when it happens, not when you see it happening. You shout about it when you don't see it. You shout about it when you still have some symptoms. You shout about it when you see that when you don't have any money in your pocket. Faith rejoices in the promises of God before they ever see it. Remember it said God calls those things to be not as though they are. Hello? Remember that? You see, you have got to take hold of the Word of God and you've got to begin to call it what the Word says. Not what you see, not what you feel, not what you think. What does the Bible say? The Word says. And every time that some contradictory thought comes across your head, you got to immediately contradict it with what the Bible says. When you're in that financial bind and the enemy comes to your mind and says, oh, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What's going to happen now? Oh, you immediately got to say, hey, I don't know, but I know what the Bible says. And the Bible says that he will meet my needs. Hello. You know, whenever I was young, traveling with Dad, you know, back in those days, we'd drive at night. Back in the 40s when he was preaching and driving, and in the early 50s, we'd drive at night because we didn't have no air conditioning in the car. And it's hot down in Texas, out in West Texas and so forth, you know. And we'd drive at night, windows would be down. And anybody remember driving with the windows down at night and going out across one of them old asphalt roads, and you could hear the tires just singing, you know. They just sing. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And so, you know, my dad said, I remember sitting behind him. My sister would be asleep on the back seat of the car. I'm sitting there. We had between the seats. The cars were they had a little bit more room between the seats than they are now. And we had one of these trunk deals. And I would sit on that behind Dad. Mom's over here. She'd just sleep. I stay awake. Dad driving. I stay awake with him. And talk to him and ask him what that sign meant and what this sign said, you know, when I was younger, before I could read. But we'd go down through there, and I remember he would tell it like this. He'd say, you know, they started saying, what are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? And the other tire joint, finally they had a quartet going, what are you going to do now? That was him. Me, I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, I just hear him say, Mr. Devil, I'm going to do what the Bible says. The Bible says that if I believe, I receive, and I tell you, I receive finances right now. See, I didn't know what he was talking about. I didn't remember him saying that. But to him, see, those tires were singing to him. What are you going to do now? Because, hey, we didn't get enough money. We left that church. Man, I don't know how many times. I mean, back in those days, They didn't give you a check. Some of you might remember this. They just passed the offering plate, and whatever the visiting preacher, whatever he got in the offering plate, they just dump it in his briefcase, and that's what you got. Anybody remember that? Yeah. Sister Shirley there, her and Lowell, they were preachers. They know about that stuff. Yeah, that's what they do. And you know, and I found out later, you know, when Dad would tell, I'd ask him about it, I got older, and he's telling a story. He said, what happened was we didn't hardly get enough money to get out of town. And now I know what I'm facing. I know the bills that we've got. And I've got you two kids and your mom, and I know what we're facing. And the devil is just bombarding me with that. And he said, you got to counter his attack is called a counterattack with the Word of God. He'd say, the Word of God says. The Word of God says. That's what you got to do. You got to. And he would just start praising God and shouting, going down the highway, and one hand on the wheel, and he hallelujah, and he put both hands back on the wheel, and he is shouting and praising God, going down the highway. You know? Like he said, I didn't hardly have enough money to buy fuel to get us back to Mama's house because we didn't have no house then. We was traveling. We'd go to his mother's or we go to Pat's mama's, that was his mom, or we go grandma's, that was mother's mom, dad, grandma, grandpa. We go to their house. That's where we go when we didn't have no meetings to go to, because there wasn't nowhere else to go. We didn't have nowhere place to stay. And he ain't shouting, we going there. He ain't got enough money about to buy gas to get us there. And he knows they get us there, we at least get something to eat, and we got a bed to sleep in. And he's praising God, man, acting like, oh, hallelujah, glory to God, all my needs are met, glory, hallelujah. That's what you got to do. In the face of your conflicts, in the face of sickness, the face of financial disaster, the face of everything, you got to keep shouting the victory, shouting the victory. Hey, you know what? What you got to do, write down. You've got to begin to do what you had to do if you saw it come into existence. You begin to shout about it before you ever see it, before you ever have it. So let's stand up and shout to the Lord right now. Grab a hold of it. Faith takes a hold and runs off with it. Faith will shout about it when you can't see it. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you that every need is met, every bill is paid in the name of Jesus. Every need is met. Oh, para la masa. Hagilimoso. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Did anybody get excited about this besides me? Anybody get excited about this besides me? Hallelujah. You got something?
Yeah.
All right. All right. Let's sing something. Let's go. Praise God. Shout it. Just sing loud. Are you going to stand? Hallelujah. Just a moment. Bow your heads for just a moment. I don't ever like to preach a message that I don't give somebody opportunity to get saved, find Jesus for the first time, or to rededicate their life, or have a no-so experience. Did you know there are hundreds of people that go to church every Sunday that don't know whether they've ever accepted Christ or not? They just know they go to church. Anybody in here tonight want to say, I need Jesus. Hallelujah. Anybody want to receive the Holy Spirit? We believe in the Holy Spirit. According to Acts chapter 2, verse number 4, they were all filled with the Spirit, began to speak with tongues. Spirit gave them utterance. Anybody want to be filled with the Spirit tonight? Praise the Lord. Anybody want hands laid on for healing? Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Glory to God. Raise your hands and thank God that the Word of God is so. The Word of God is working in your life. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Hey, next Sunday night, 6 o'clock, it's all going to start all over again right here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Trust you got something out of this tonight. I enjoy preaching it. Actually, that is actually a little bit out of I've got a book out there called Faith Takes Back What the Devil Stole. I know this is one of them. They only have two. There's one more out there. But if you want one and they don't have one, if you'll tell them, they'll bring some more over next Sunday night. But they take that one back there and put it back on the shelf in case somebody else wants to buy it. But it's back there if you want it. It's there. I just took a little bit from this paragraph and a little bit from that paragraph and added a little bit of it my own self, because some of that stuff that I did is not actually in that book. But because I went a little different direction. But that's in essence that book's sort of what I was talking about, taking back from what the devil tried to steal from you. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, until next Sunday night, we'll do the same thing over again. Let me get to one door, she'll get the other. We'll shake your hand. God bless.